Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
1860 KXNO.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon on a Friday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.3 FM as we talk sports with you for the next couple of hours. Appreciate you joining us here this morning. We will culminate the program by giving you an opportunity to win some barbecue from our friends at Claxon's in Altoona. Claxon's coming up on Fridays, it always does, about 11:45. The rest of the BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. In about 25 minutes, we will head west all the way to Lincoln. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, will join us. It's the Huskers and the Hawkeyes tomorrow. That's a 5 o'clock tip at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We'll talk to Sip about the Huskers, who have not won since they saw Iowa back in the middle of January. So we'll catch up with Sip. We'll do some football as well with him. 10:45, Alex Halstead. He had a sit-down yesterday with Matt Campbell. We will discuss what he learned regarding that opportunity and dot I's, cross T's maybe on the recruiting, the final signing day. In the 11 o'clock hour, Coach Ben Jacobson from UNI scheduled to join us. Fingers crossed that he does. He had to postpone yesterday, but is going to make time for Trent and I here this morning at 11. Drake will make their way over to the McLeod Center. Last I saw, there was a couple hundred seats left, and that was 48 hours ago.
Right.
So. Hopefully, that building will be banged out. Drake and you and I at 3. And couldn't work out much better, could it? Wade Looking Bill will join us. We'll wrap up the show with Wade. We'll do some high school, just, well, very little. But he saw, who did he see? Oski and Norwalk.
And Norwalk, yeah. It was Xavier Foster versus Bowen Bourne.
Both guys put on a show, apparently.
That they did. Continue to play really good basketball there. Excited to see both those teams, and excited as the sub-states have been released, along with the districts and the lower levels, that they will be in different sub-states. So a chance for both Oski and Norwalk to get to the state tournament.
You've got high school basketball tonight?
Yes, going to be over in Waukee, weather permitting. I think we're going to be okay, but it'll be a couple of really good games. The girls won a top five matchup with Waukee hosting Southeast
Polk.
Wow,
top five, I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
number four Waukee, number five Southeast Polk. The Rams have just been knocked off once this year, and two losses for Waukee. On the other side, the boys' side should be a good one too. Waukee boys have hit the skids here the last couple of weeks, taking a couple of losses, and it was maybe a week after I told you I thought they were certainly the best team here in Central Iowa. The other team in that conversation, Ankeny Centennial, got them. They took another loss there, trying to bounce back against a really solid Southeast Polk team I saw Tuesday night.
So you'll be on the air at 7?
On the air at 7. We'll join in progress. The girls' game right around halftime is when we'll pop on, right after Emery Songer and company finish up High School Insider.
Good stuff. According to my phone, looking at the weather, what would you call it? It's not an app. Whatever the weather is on the iPhone. Snow's supposed to end sometime in the noon hour.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to get things
plowed. Plenty of time. Clean things up, get the streets ready to roll, and away you will go tonight. Wade Looking Bill, we'll talk a little bit of high school and recap that game. Of course, he does it for MediaCom MC22, and then we'll preview Iowa versus Nebraska, probably Michigan State. And don't look now. Well, you can't see this because you'll be working tonight, but I can. I'll cover it for you. Big Ten is first place in the Big Ten is on the line tonight, Trent.
Yes, Maryland, Illinois. I'm looking forward to that. I'll have it on the DVR. And you never know. You know, there's extra screens always around. I might have it at least up and taking a peek at it during commercial breaks. But I think a chance to be a really good game.
I do, too.
Three's the number.
Three is the number. Illinois favored by 3. Maryland, they got a couple of road wins. Illinois so good. Has Illinois played since Iowa?
I don't believe they have.
I don't think so either. And we saw that game, look, Purdue couldn't miss.
Right.
But at the same time, that was a physical, high-spirited, and we look no further than the end of the basketball game. Emotions were running high in that one, so they'll have had some extra time maybe to
mini break here for the Illini. It was Sunday last time.
So give me the Illini then. Give me the Illini, but I'm looking forward to it. Fox Sports 1, FS1 has that one tonight. I'm guessing Brando and Bardo will be in Champaign, if I had to guess, so we'll certainly tune in at 7 and find out. This is... has nothing to do with anything, what I'm about to say.
Okay.
But it struck my funny bone for whatever reason.
Well, if there's ever a day to do it, it's today, because we didn't have a whole lot on the plate last night.
So, I mean, I watched my Jets.
Did you?
Yeah.
They get it done?
They did. They beat the Blues.
I watched UConn.
Yeah, you bet against UConn.
Tulsa. And Tulsa could not shoot the basketball. That was ugly. So I had a wager, and apologies, I already got some Twitter blowback from that one.
Yeah, but to remind them that you cashed the last 3 days.
Right, right. So you take a 3-1 every week.
In a heartbeat.
Right.
In a heartbeat, you will.
We'll try to go to 4-1 today.
Oh, you got to play for later on in the show?
I think we got some.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So every now and then something pops into your timeline that I don't know, either moves you or strikes my fun. Now, last night, I got to be honest with you, I'm in tears looking at Twitter. In tears of, you know, me, right? I cry at commercials.
Yes, you do.
So Rex Chapman, blocker charge guy.
Uh-huh.
His feed is unbelievable.
It's hilarious.
It really is funny. But every now and then he posts something on Twitter that, and everybody's, oh, that's the Twitter I'm here for type of thing.
Yes.
So he posted a little boy. I don't know how old he was, 2 or 3. I don't want to cry again. But hearing his parents for the first time.
Oh, yes.
I mean, he's completely deaf. And he's sitting in a chair between his two parents and the technician or whatever it is. I'm going to activate his hearing aids in 3, 2, and 1. And anyways, that was unbelievable. But you know who popped up? It's just completely out of the blue. And I don't know why, again, it struck me as funny. Do you remember Ali Haji Sheik?
No.
You don't remember him, do you? You were a young kid. But somehow he's in my timeline today.
Who is it?
He's a kicker. He kicked at Michigan, but kicked for the Giants. And I think he won a Super Bowl back on one of those lords. But anyways.
I remember Sean Landetta, the punter.
Yeah, there's another one. He kicked for a long time.
Yes, he did.
In fact, I think he's kicking this weekend in the XFL.
Oh, I'm excited for some XFL action this weekend.
You know, here's the thing with them, Trent. I don't think they have a chance in hell. I don't think that this league is going to have any more success than any of the ones that have come before it.
Staying power is incredibly difficult.
It is. It's the NFL is king. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
It has to be a good product.
Well, and you have to have the NFL as a part of it. Remember NFL Europe?
Oh, absolutely.
Might have had as good of a run as any of these other, air quote, other leagues.
And that was played more spring-summer, wasn't it?
It was, and it was in Europe, and it was all over the place.
And then
place.
They moved it back, and they added kind of the World League, and Birmingham had a team. I think Calgary maybe had a team.
I remember the CFL expanded in the States. They were in Baltimore for a while, and that didn't last. But anyways, here's what they have going for them. The television. They've got Fox. Mm-hmm. They've got ABC. They've got ESPN. I'm guessing Joel Klatt is a big part of it, because they see him in all the commercials. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the broadcast teams will be. I have no idea who the rosters are made up of. Have you even looked? Do you care to look? No?
Not really.
I'm with you, Trent. And we both love football, yet I, at this point, couldn't care less.
As you go through, Steve Levy is part of one of the
is
teams.
Is Gracie working with Levy?
I don't see that here. Who's going to be his color guy there? But they're not just throwing out. You know, it's not Rocky. What's that guy's name? Rocky Bowman.
Yes,
every ESPNU game. It seems like.
Yeah.
They're putting out Steve Levy there. They're at least giving them some of their better talent.
So this isn't the Tuesday night Maction guys that they work in November and November only. And what do you do for the rest of the year? Now they got something to do.
What I'm most intrigued by is all these changes in the rules. And
lay them on me.
First of
all, they want to move the games along, right?
Yes, and that's a big part of it. So the clock rules are, I'm explaining it is a lot, but basically, the clock's going to be continuing to move. Even after incompletions, after the ball is spotted, they're going to wind the clock. But they still want to keep the same number of plays that you normally see in a professional in an NFL football game.
Okay.
Want to keep that number up there. So they've done some things. Final 2 minutes, instead of the clock continuously running, you run a run play, clock stops until they spot it, and they go from there. So there's going to be opportunities. You don't just have to throw the ball around and able to stop the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the innovations that the first XFL had and the camera on the field, which looking back and you see the way that they were doing it. I mean, it was old school.
Right.
But now you see it all over the place. And you see the zip line going back and forth. And was the Insight Bowl where Marvin McNutt almost got laid out by the camera falling.
I remember that. That was unbelievable. Trent, that was close.
Yes, really close to him. But now it's part of our football viewing experience. And I'm sure some of these rules are going to trickle down to the NFL. The kicking rules that are in place. Nobody can leave on a kickoff until the ball is kicked. But the ball needs to land basically between the goal line and the 20-yard line. If you don't, if you kick it out of bounds, if you kick it short of that line, the receiving team gets the ball on the kicking team's 45.
What?
They want kickoffs. They want kickoff returns to happen in this. This is a way to slow down the impact,
right.
Get that in there, yeah. And if you screw it up, you're going to pay a steep, steep penalty there and get that exciting play back in there. The point after touchdown. No more extra points. Now, I don't think extra points are going to go away in the NFL, but some innovation. You go from the 2-yard line, you get a point. You go from the 5, you get 2 points. Mm. You go from the 10,
wow. You
get 3 points.
And I don't think that's ever going to get to the NFL either, but that's certainly an interesting rule.
Could it be something in the second half where they implement that in a 2-point play and a 3-point play, and all of a sudden you're down 10 and you got a chance?
Yeah. Boy, football's so good the way it is. I don't want them to trick it up too much.
I understand that. Definitely get that. Some rule changes in the punt game, kind of similar to the kickoff rules that we mentioned there, and corner kicks taken out. You kick it out of bounds, team's going to get it at the 35. Kick it in the end zone, they're going to get it at the 35. Again, a way to work to get punt returns back into the game. But maybe the most innovative and fun, and we'll see if this can go, the double forward pass. Now, we see the double passes. You throw it back, you got a wide receiver screen set up, but he's actually behind the quarterback, and then he chucks it down the field. This one is set up. You throw a pass to somebody, and as long as it's behind the line of scrimmage, that guy can throw it.
Doesn't need to be behind the quarterback.
Doesn't need to be behind it. So you can set up a bubble screen out of the shotgun, little bubble screen out there, tunnel screen, and that guy can look upfield and fire it up himself. It's fun. Is it tricked up? Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve judgment, and I don't think, well, there are a couple of games on Sunday, right?
Yes.
So tomorrow there's no chance in hell because the schedule couldn't work out any better.
Oh, college basketball is set up perfectly.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Michigan, Michigan State early.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to deviate from the hoops for my Jets play at 1. So
okay.
I'll watch the Jets at 1. But only for a couple of hours because at 3 o'clock, Drake and you and I play.
Right.
And this is a, look, you and I's trying to hold serve where if they do, drop a game before they get to St. Louis, that maybe there's an at-large path for them there. We certainly hope that that's going to be the case. I'd love to see two teams get in from the Valley. But Drake needs this one. You know what? We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but Drake, good for them picking off Bradley. They needed that game. And Trent, they dominated that basketball game. They did.
Yes.
We talked more about Adam Emenecker.
We did.
And he's really good. But we didn't talk much about the game for whatever reason, because I think maybe because I was just so impressed with that, with Emenecker. But I saw the point spread in this game when you sent it to me today for the Claxons contest we're doing later. That blows me away. Drake's getting double-digit points.
They're getting a huge number here, and we'll see. This is the projected point spread from Ken Pomeroy,
right.
What it'll actually be when it comes out later this afternoon. But that shows you, A, how good you and I is and how analytically. You know, we think of you and I basketball, and you think of them as slow pace, defensive team. You look at their offensive numbers. They're not going to still put up a ton of points, though we've seen that happen for them.
Well, when they're making their shots,
But they are incredibly efficient. Right now, the 18th most efficient offense in college basketball.
Wouldn't have known that. Wouldn't have thought that.
That's not what you think of when you think of Panther basketball. You think of win it 55-50, get out of there. This team is built differently, and A.J. Green is a big part of that with Burhau. You know Halderman could fill it up, and then Fife, the way he's playing. Though he finally missed a shot himself
missed
Wednesday.
Missed a few of them, right?
He did.
He went 2 games, he didn't miss a shot. I think he was 5-for-10 the other night on the road.
The problem for Drake, though, has been on the road. They have been a different team on the road. And though they took finally a home loss at the Knapp Center last Saturday, the difference there has been pretty wide between that, and I guess that's probably where that number comes from.
I guess. It seems like a lot of points,
it does.
Trent.
I'm right there with you.
I mean, Robbins Fife's going to be,
he's
got a chance to be really good. Boy, I like this Robbins kid.
He's
really come
great
on.
Great story.
You know what? You threw a little bit of a scare. Not a scare, but you certainly got my attention.
I could be a bit of a wet blanket from time
to
time.
You were! You're trying to get this kid out of Drake.
I am a you and I grad.
Right. Well, fair point. Yeah, let's get this kid to a Power 6 school.
Yeah, let's find a spot right. for him.
Yeah, because the Big East is part of the powers conferences in basketball. But yeah, I hope he stays there. I hope he does. So that's going to be good tomorrow. Then at 3, Iowa plays at 5 o'clock. They play Nebraska again. The last time Nebraska found a win in the Big Ten, it was against those Hawks way, way back in the middle of... Was that early January? Mid-January, anyways. I think we got to the wild card portion of the NFL, so that's how far back it was. That's the last time they found the win column. And then at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, K-State and Iowa State in what seemingly, Trent, if Iowa State beats K-State, it's not going to matter at all, season record-wise, I don't
sure.
think.
Right.
I don't think they can avoid opening night of the Big 12 tournament.
Nope.
But boy, the fan base needs this. The team needs this. The coaching staff needs this. A whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of Cyclones need this one.
They've lost 4 in a row. They were non-competitive against West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They had that run against the Auburn at the end of the game, but for a large swath of that, they weren't there. They were never really in the Baylor game. And then the Texas game, they gave away.
Yeah, they should have won last week. Yeah, I mean, the Texas game, you're absolutely right. They gave it away.
But it's 4 consecutive losses. Mm-hmm. It is 6 out of 7. It is 10 out of 12.
Mm.
It's hard to swallow that as a fan base, fan base.
I'm with you.
And we know, I mean, loyal and true, they take that to another level at Iowa State.
Yep.
The football program, we've talked about that for years and years and years, the way that they support it. Same thing for Iowa State basketball. But because of the success that they've had the last decade.
Spoiled them a little bit.
They're not used to this.
No, they're not, Trent. And a couple of years ago, they had a sub-500, but that was just a blip, and they knew it was coming. Maybe our expectations were out of whack, too. But we both thought if there was a tournament team in the state, well, mm-hmm. it's going to be, the Panthers got to win. They got to cut down the nets in St. Louis. It's a one-bid league. I mean, mm-hmm. that was our take. We weren't sure about Iowa.
No, not at all. Nothing like
this. We thought if there was a team, and I thought Bolton put them, because I didn't think there was a team to begin with. And then Bolton getting eligible, yep. I thought, you know what, that might just be enough. It hasn't gone their way. And look, K-State, they beat West Virginia. Now, yeah, granted, it was in the octagon. I'll mm-hmm. give them that. But still, they picked off West Virginia.
Snead's a nice player.
Snead is a really nice player. I watched him against Baylor. I think that was their last game, and he played his you-know-what off.
Kept him in that game.
He absolutely kept him in that game.
And then got a cover out of the end. Did you see, who was it, Teague for Baylor? Missed the 2 free throws.
Brought that up on our Mediacom show as a bad beat.
So this kid is 88% his freshman year, mm-hmm. 87% his sophomore year, and he's like 85% this year.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 6. Yep. The number's 7 or 6.5, depending on when you got it. He misses both free throws.
He's on the free throw line with a chance, and this kid doesn't miss.
No.
And with a chance to push the game over, and he got... That's the wet... Look, we started 10 minutes ago talking about some of the good on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
Yes, and the negativity that was there. There was an article Jeff Goodman wrote about it yesterday.
Yep.
Just the negativity that went to him. This goes for all walks. Anybody listening, please... Don't tweet at recruits.
No.
Don't tweet at college players. Look, we said it after the Iowa game. Two guys that we'd sung the praises of, Connor McCaffrey and C.J. Frederick, they played poorly.
Awful.
And say that, but we didn't also tag them then on Twitter so they can see it. And you know what? If they want to go to the podcast and listen to it, so be it.
They don't.
Right.
Right.
But that's different than actually, literally, going out of your way and tagging somebody. Go on Twitter and say... You know, Teague, he cost me $50 here, those 2 missed free throws. Don't tag him in it.
Baylor cost me $50.
Right, whatever it is, but to tag these guys in it and then have to go through the vitriol, we're still talking about student-athletes here.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. So a really good day of college basketball tomorrow. Duke, North Carolina plays. That's lost a whole lot of the luster.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow night late as well. So did you settle in on anything last night college basketball-wise?
It was the UConn game against Tulsa until that one got away. And then I went over to the NBA for a while, which...
Boy, how about the NBA trade deadline?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Our neighbors to the north making some move up there, and they need to, as they have been awful.
Trent, Wiggins has got to be the most frustrating pro, or certainly one of the most frustrating pros. I mean, in college, that's one thing. But when he's got a max deal. And when he wants to play, he just seemingly floats. If you watch him, if you watch the T-Wolves play 3 games, 2 of them, you're going to come away, you know, you want one of those rubber bricks that you can throw at your TV right. because he just pisses you. He shows no effort. Mm-hmm. He floats out there. And D'Angelo Russell apparently is Karl-Anthony Towns' best friend.
And this is something that they tried to get worked out
in
this summer.
In the offseason,
Didn't happen there.
Well, they're clearly building around Cat, right? I mean, they want to keep him as a Timberwolf. They've had some dudes over the years. I mean, how different would this franchise have been if Kevin Garnett stays, if Marbury stays with him? You know, some of those guys that they've had over the years, but they just couldn't keep them, and they clearly want to keep Cat.
Here's a number for you. So the T-Wolves have lost 13 consecutive. Now, Carl Anthony Towns has been injured for a stretch of this, but you know the last time the T-Wolves won a game where he played?
No, before Christmas? Well, it had to be.
Yeah. November 27th.
Oh, my God. Thanksgiving weekend.
November 27th, they went on the road and beat the Kings.
Are you kidding me?
They haven't won another game with their best player in the lineup.
So what does that do for Ryan Saunders, who came in to surprise us that day during the State Fair? I thought that was really cool of him to do that.
Is he the one that has to walk the plank
here? Well, do you think somebody does? But maybe now that they tweaked the lineup a little bit and they've made some moves, maybe they can... I don't know. Look, I can't watch T-Wolves basketball.
I'm the same way.
And I try. I
mean, and during the winter, we try. Yeah, we both do when there's kind of that opportunity. Last night, if they would have been playing, would have been an opportunity. I probably would, but they're so bad. Mm-hmm. Now they have eight new players on this roster. Is there any hope for that organization as a whole? I mean, this has been...
I hate to write them off forever.
They made the playoffs a couple years ago, promptly got knocked out right away, but...
Well, they're in the wrong side of the... I mean, they're in the West.
Well, the East,
and the
is,
East
starting
is coming
to,
up, right?
It's starting to tilt the other
That's
way.
A good point.
It just doesn't... It's an organization as a whole. Outside of the run to the Western Conference Finals, they've won one playoff series, or two series that year, the only series that they've ever won. They had the longest streak in professional sports without making the playoffs. Until they made that run two years ago.
And they draw pretty well up there, don't they?
They do, yeah. People show up for just a terrible product. My buddy, he was selling tickets for the T-Wolves for a number of years during that awful run. Not the easiest thing to try to get a big package.
To make a living. Boy, yes, I'm guessing he got hung up on a bunch. You know, my takeaway from the NBA last night, maybe my only takeaway from the NBA so far in 2020, that picture of LeBron James. Did you see the dunk?
Oh, yeah, the one from like straight on?
Yes. Oh, my God, what a photo.
That's when we get to April and May and things locally really slow down.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy getting...
I do, too.
I'm a LeBron fan.
See, I like the league. I love the NBA playoffs.
Yes.
But there's just no time for it right now.
We got local.
Indeed. And we'll get Stephen M. Sipple next. We'll talk... we'll preview Iowa, Nebraska. And look, at full disclosure... It's kind of an excuse to talk to my pal, right?
Right.
I had to twist Trent's arm. I really want to talk to
him. We got
Sip.
Signing day. I can maybe throw a couple barbs at Sip. I mean, what is 11 the floor this year? What is it? 15 is the high water mark, 15-0. 10-3 maybe is the low.
Expectations are going to be high. You know, that's for sure. There'll be a line of cars crossing the bridge, heading over to Council Bluffs to lay their money down on
get
our
that future
champions.
Tickets out.
Absolutely. All right, right now it's time to pay your bills with iHeartRadio 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Text the keyword taxi to 200-200 right now. Your chance to win $1,000. Taxi to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Stephen M. Sipple next. Alex Halstead on Iowa State in 20 minutes. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO and now on
106.org.
It's time for Sip. Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star talks with myself and Ken on Nebraska football.
I mean, I have a radio show. We have callers. I pay attention to my Twitter notifications and all that. There's definitely some frustration.
We talk Cornhuskers, and you never know what else is going to come up.
Stand by a man and show the world you love.
With 30 years on the Nebraska beat, here's Stephen M. Sipple.
As long as they're paying me to talk, I'm just going to keep doing it.
Hi, Miller and Condon, 10:30 on a snowy Friday. We head west all the way to Lincoln. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, joins the program. How are you, old friend? How you been?
It's been a while. Thanks for having me back. It's good to hear your guys' voice.
Yeah, well, soon, Sip, although it's probably not soon, but hopefully it gets here quicker. We'll be doing this on a weekly basis again, and all will be well in the world when football is back. But anyways, we've got basketball this weekend. I'm surprised, Sip, that Nebraska hasn't won since they beat Iowa back in early January. They've certainly had their opportunities. I watched the game at the rack the other day, a couple of weeks ago now. There was a three at the buzzer to pick him off, which was a terrific basketball game. Baker came, who's battling injury in his own right, hit a big three to propel them to victory. But there's been nights that they've belonged on the same floor with some of the best teams in the Big Ten. Haven't been enough of them, though.
No, Nebraska will go in there, go into Carver-Hawkeye with a seven-game losing streak. Really, I mean, you mentioned something sort of interesting. Think about it this way. That was just a month ago, like exactly a month ago, that Nebraska beat Iowa 76-70. And now you look at KenPom, which a lot of us do. KenPom gives Nebraska an 8% chance to win Saturday night, tomorrow night. I mean, think how, like, that swing. Mm-hmm. Nebraska beat them. I mean, just beat them a month ago. Now, and I don't think KenPom's off. I'd say, I mean, I was thinking 10%. I think it's even down to 7.4%. So why? Why is it swung that far? You know, I mean, Iowa's tough at home. Nebraska's skidding. Iowa's got to, you know, Iowa needs to win. I mean, they're positioning. Iowa's positioning itself for the NCAA tournament. They're playing for a lot. Nebraska, I think, is probably, you know, if I'm Fred Hoiberg as a coach, my concern this time of year gets to be a little physical fatigue, but maybe even more mental fatigue. I want to tell you, there's a stat that your listeners should know that goes along with mental fatigue. Nebraska, there's no other team in the country, and that's 353 teams, I believe, is what we're talking about, that gets its shot blocked more. Wow. Gets shot blocked more than Nebraska. I mean, you guys play pickup. What happens if you're playing in your driveway, the person you're playing is blocking your shot all the time?
Deflating.
Yeah, it's really deflating. So that's, yeah, I think mental fatigue is probably an issue for Fred's team.
This squad is incredibly young. The cavalry is coming, though. They got a lot more reinforcements on its way next season. Who do you look at and say, this guy's going to be a good Big Ten player? This is going to be a guy that has a solid spot, and when more talent gets on campus, they're going to be relegated to the end of the bench.
That's a good question. Now, here's I don't expect you to remember this name, or I wouldn't even ask. Maybe you could file it away, maybe not. Maybe your listeners will, maybe they won't. There's a guy named Delano Banton that's he's redshirting this year. He could have played. He's a transfer, but I think he could have played. He wanted to redshirt to put on weight, but he's a six. Now, this is what's intriguing to me. Well, there's a couple of things that are intriguing. One is he's a 6'8" guard. He's a 6'8" point guard.
Jeez.
Yeah. So yeah. Wow. I was right. And then if you see him, I've seen him in practice. He sat out to put on weight, and he looks good. I mean, he doesn't look like he doesn't look like a guy that is feeble. I mean, he looks like an athlete. 6'8" point guard. And here's the thing. What makes it more enticing is that Fred said the other day that he just is perfect in the offense. He has a very good feel for Fred's offense, which means he knows when to cut to the basket. He knows how to hit guys that are cutting to the basket. He's very good in a movement-oriented offense, and as opposed to, you know, like what Nebraska played a lot in recent years is a lot of isolation, and that's not how Fred does it. So Delano Banton would definitely be a name to know. And, you know, this year, as far as guys that are coming in, the guy that you'll watch and that Iowa fans probably know is Cam Mack.
Yeah.
But
what happened, Sip, to him the other against Penn State? Now, he didn't start. Was he in the doghouse, and did he pout because when Hoiberg put him in, he didn't score a point against Penn State?
No, it's a good question. Here's the deal. He was on Friday before the Penn State game, so Friday, a week ago, he was late for a film session. And that's, he's had that issue. He was late for a film session before the Creighton game and was benched for that, for a few minutes in that game, too. It's a problem.
I mean, I you know, people can say, "Oh, come on, don't make a mountain out of a molehill." I don't think you. This is your quarterback,
right?
I mean, this is your best player
by far. Yes,
it's a bad look. I don't care what anybody says. It's a bad look for that guy to on Friday before a game, a home game. You know, you're gonna have 13,000 people in the stands. It's a Big Ten game. Why is he late? Why is he 3 minutes late? You're all sitting there ready for a film session, and your quarterback and your best player's not there. It's not. So Fred's got an issue there. He is really talented, though, and he's had a good season. And Kenny, you know, I've been covering Nebraska. I mean, I really have been covering Nebraska basketball for literally 30 years. And I haven't seen – I mean, Nebraska, I'd say there's – I've seen three other point guards that are maybe as good as Mack. And if Mack, as a sophomore – he's a sophomore. If he progresses, he'll be the best ever player.
Wow, that's high praise there. You're talking about, well, at the top, the best point guard, was it Tyronn Lue?
Yeah, Trent, that's good. I would say Tyronn Lue. Now, Kenny's older like me. he may remember Brian Carr, Kenny, or Jack Moore, those guys. Brian Carr was in the mid-'80s. He was an excellent point guard at Nebraska, and Jack Moore was right before Brian Carr. It'd be those guys or Tyronn Lue for the best. And Mack, Tyronn Lue was the quickest. He was a different player than Mack. Mack's more of a, not as good a scorer as Lue, but a better facilitator.
Cookie Belcher, is he on that list? I just love the name Cookie.
Belcher didn't really play point guard.
Yeah, he's more of a shooter,
That's a good name.
Underside two guard.
Good name.
Hey, speaking of the roster, guys redshirting this year, I see Jace Piakowski, and I hearken back to the Polish Rifleman. Is that the son of Eric Piakowski?
Yeah, that is the son of Piakowski.
Good pull, Trent.
He's not as tall. Yeah, he's not as tall. I don't think he shoots. I mean, Eric was an incredible
shooter.
Played for many years in the NBA. So, but Jace, that's Eric's son.
Sip, final couple of minutes here as we switch to football. I don't follow recruiting very close at all, but I did see that. I just don't for whatever reason. I did see that Nebraska and all of Frost staff apparently made their way out to Utah to try and get this. I think he was a defensive lineman who they wanted real bad. He might be Samoan, but he stayed at home and is going to play at Utah. Was that maybe one of the bigger misses? Because it seems like they really, and again, this is the second period, I get that, but they went after him hard. Are they, overall, would they consider this signing class a success?
Yeah, I think so. That was, they did put a full court press on Tanoa Tagoi. That's who they're talking about. They did put a full court press on him, but I don't think that people here thought that was a big blow. It was going to be hard to wrestle him away from that part of the country. He's from Rigby, Idaho. He committed to Utah. He's Polynesian, and it's not like Nebraska's had a long line of Polynesian players. I think people regarded that as a long shot. So, to answer your question, not a big storyline in our part.
Gotcha, yep.
Nebraska signed 23. And, they feel good. It's a top 20 class. I think people feel pretty good about it. But I'll tell you the storyline that that Trent can follow. Kenny, now, if you're going to follow recruiting, Kenny, this would be a good year to do it because Nebraska has set its sight on no fewer than a half dozen Iowa high school players.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a great storyline to follow. Nebraska is really recruiting six or seven guys at the fewest, really hard. TJ Ballers, right outside of Iowa City, is a defensive pass rusher.
Yep.
That might be the number one guy on their Nebraska's board, and maybe the number two guy on their board is Thomas Fedoni of Council Bluffs, the tight end. And then there's others. I mean, Nebraska is really targeting Iowa, so I think that's a great storyline.
Yeah, we've had recruiting analysts in our state say it's the best class in Iowa history. Upwards of maybe 22 guys are going to have D1 offers coming in there.
Wow.
You mentioned the kid from Council Bluffs, and it's not just Iowa, Nebraska, kind of the Midwest teams after him. So he picked up an Auburn offer. Georgia's in there. I mean, this a kid from Council Bluffs with those kind of offers, you know that's big time.
Oh, Thomas Fedoni guy. Yeah, he's getting recruited by everybody. He's a tight end. You would think Iowa would have an upper hand on this, but Nebraska is, Nebraska, the family's Nebraska fan.
They are, yep.
Nebraska feels like they got a great shot at Fedoni. But, he's a national recruit. If you look at his offer list, it's a who's who.
Good stuff, Stephen M. So does Nebraska get back in the win column on Saturday? We certainly over here are hoping that it doesn't happen this week.
Oh, I don't like to do this. I mean, it sounds really negative for all your Nebraska listeners, but I would be shocked if Nebraska won that game. I would.
Especially Iowa got beat by Purdue the other night.
Yeah, I would. Nebraska's not in a good position right now. And at Carver Hawkeye, no. I'd just be really surprised if it happened.
Good to catch up with you, old friend. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, take care, guys.
Good to talk to you. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, and he does morning radio from 6 to 8 over in Lincoln as well. Alex Halstead covers Iowa State. We'll switch gears. Iowa State's in on bowlers as well.
Yes, they are. He took a visit.
He did take a visit. Boy, that's really cool about the state of Iowa, all those kids, huh?
It's really going to be a fun off season. And then when you get through this top tier of guys, that next tier, not only does it have top level prospects like we talked about with Fedoni, but it is the depth of it. 22 kids, and there's not going to be spots for all of them, of course, at Iowa and Iowa State. And that means, seeing guys playing across the country in different spots. And even like a random MAC game, there's a kid that played in the state of Iowa, and he could have played Northwest Iowa, but it's state of Iowa. And all right, gives you a little something on Tuesday night in November to watch.
I don't need anything personally.
I know you don't.
Trent, we'll come back with Alex Halstead as we take you up until noon. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.
Station Supply.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Ben Jacobson scheduled to join us in 15 minutes. Head coach UNI, a former Hawkeye hoopster Wade Looking Bill at 11:25. Claxon's Barbecue before we get out of here. But right now, let's talk Iowa State, shall we? He's Alex Halstead, CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 Sports. He had a one-on-one sit-down yesterday with Matt Campbell. We'll do football. We'll do basketball. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing good, yeah. Kind of still in that football mode, which I think Iowa State fans actually have been pretty excited about with the way basketball's going. But ready to talk about either of them.
Yeah, the football staff could do the basketball staff a big favor by putting a coach out there on a weekly basis to talk football, because there's still excitement around that program, no doubt about it. And you had Matt Campbell yesterday. You published it in two parts. You know what struck me by your piece, Alex? Just the sheer volume of players that Coach Campbell brought up that I honestly, again, I'm not a big recruiting guy, that, they were redshirting or, guys that haven't made an impact yet. Point being is he's certainly built depth in a way that few coaches that came before him have been able to do. And I'm talking about guys who will, fingers crossed, see the field and make an impact before their eligibility runs out. That struck me.
Yeah, that's probably the one thing that stood out to me the most as well. And I got to that question, and I think I basically asked, are there any guys who were on the verge last season that you were close to maybe playing that couldn't play because they were behind the guy or didn't play for whatever reason, not just true freshmen, but anybody in the program. And I expected maybe him to give me a couple names, and he ended up giving me a 1,000-word answer, and I think going over pretty much every position and at least thinking through them. You could tell he was trying to think of anybody he could. You can go find him. It's a lot of different names, but I guess, some of them that stood out, we'd heard Darian Porter was one of the top true freshmen, but he revealed and said that, the wide receiver who redshirted last year, they had some plays for him in the bowl game, but he got hurt on the first punt return of the game. And so they didn't get to those, plays. He said Ezri Anderson, another wide receiver who I had noticed was traveling with the team last year. He ended up redshirting as well from that class. But he said that in November, the staff discussed burning his redshirt and playing him the rest of the season. So those are a couple guys that can come in now, and with Deshaunte Jones and Michael Petway gone and maybe play. And I think you flip to the other side of the ball, and there's a lot of different names, as you alluded to, but Ashim Young at safety is a guy that people had really high hopes for last year. He redshirted as well. But I penciled him in as my starter in the way too early depth start. Matt Campbell said that, you know, he's starting to show some potential that he could be their best guy back there. So definitely a lot of different interesting names, and I think those are just a couple of them.
So reading through your transcript, CycloneAlert.com is where you can find it with Coach Campbell. A lot of interesting nuggets in there, but one that really stuck out to me is him talking about the evolution of what they're doing, talking to other programs, the calendar, how they're going, but not just through spring football, but as a whole here. You can continue to see, even with the success that Matt Campbell and this program has had, looking to still adapt and change and evolve as things go on.
Yeah, you can kind of always tell that he's kind of tweaking things, and he even did that a little bit in season. He switched which day they had their off day, and I think they end up going back. But, you know, they've altered between Sunday and Monday for what days they're off day in the season, and he's always trying to tweak things depending on, you know, what he thinks is working and what isn't. And you obviously saw that this offseason where, you know, he got rid of Rudy Wade and brought in Dave Andrews as a new strength and conditioning coach. That's kind of what led to me asking about, you know, some of these different changes, because in addition to Dave Andrews coming in, they've also hired a football-specific nutritionist. You know, they've always had kind of a nutritionist, but as someone who just kind of deals with the whole athletic department, now they have someone who's just dealing with, you know, the meal plans of their football players and, you know, how much sleep they're supposed to get. And so those people work hand-in-hand, and he meets with them every Monday to go over how things are going. And then, you know, I think the interesting thing that you mentioned there was he's going to switch spring ball this year, and they're going to go after spring break this year. They're not going to start until March 24th, and then they'll go through the entire month of April.
Perfect.
So still 5 weeks and still, you know, three practices a week in that five-week period. But by moving it all the way back to March, he said they're going to get, you know, those extra weeks in their winter workout program in the weight room. So, you know, it's interesting just how much goes on behind the scenes. You know, people talk about, you know, all the X's and O's and stuff, but there's a lot of thinking that goes into planning out an offseason and tweaking things to try to get better results.
Interesting. Jirel Brock, he got my attention. We talked about him, too, that, you know, he was kind of behind the curve a little bit, that that Breece Hall had a six-month head start on him, essentially. Breece Hall's going to be tough, I think, to, you know, to cut into his carries, but should be a hell of a competition, and Campbell's clearly not writing Brock off.
No, he said by midseason that they were kind of nip and tuck to, you know, play. Obviously, at that point, they made the decision to redshirt Jirel and separate them by year, but also not waste his redshirt if, you know, if Breece Hall was going to be the guy. But I think he's definitely going to face competition. But even more than that, you know, you saw at times at Toledo with David Fuel and Kareem Hunt both being a kind of a 1-2 punch. And for Iowa State to get there, they need their offensive line to be probably a dominant run blocking type team. I don't know if they're going to be there quite yet, but you know, you could see a future where they're trying to, you know, really focus on the run first. And so, that would be interesting to see if they can get to that point. But, you know, Jirel Brock, if he's not necessarily pushing Breece Hall for carries, you know, he's really going to challenge Kane Nwangwu and Johnny Lang and maybe take their carries and be that number two guy or be a split guy with Hall. So it's going to be a good competition back there. And I think, you know, that's one positive for them is they have a couple of young guys that, you know, should be the face of that position for the years to come.
The first Wednesday in November is come and gone. It's a lot different for you these days with the early signing period in December, I know, Alex. But as you look at the roster here, I know there's going to be plenty of questions, A, the construction, and secondly, grad transfers that may still be out there, and this can continue all the way through spring and even into summer. What do you know scholarship-wise? How much wiggle room is there for Iowa State?
Yeah, right now they're probably, I think last I knew, they were about 86 or 87. So there's just a couple over. Obviously, you could still expect a little bit probably of attrition, whether it's guys, you know, I think there's one or two guys that maybe will just graduate, you know, and move on or do whatever. So that could happen through the spring. And so they could have a couple spots of flexibility. And I think if you're talking about them adding anything else, it'd probably be graduate transfer. And I think it would potentially be an offensive lineman. Now, there's no names necessarily right now. It's not something they've been, I shouldn't say overly active on, but they haven't necessarily pinpointed anybody specific. But I do know if they could go out and they could find an offensive lineman to compete and give them depth, especially probably at tackle, then that would be a position that they would potentially still add to this 2020 roster.
Interesting. Alex Halstead is our guest, CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. I want to talk about Easton Dean a little bit with you because the
apparently Campbell's come out, and I don't know if it was you, if it was Petey, but at some point yesterday said he might be the best tight end. Look, and Iowa State's not known for sending a whole bunch of tight ends to the league. They've got one now on the roster that looks as though he's ticketed for a professional, for an NFL career in Kohler. But boy, oh boy, talking about Easton Dean, who undergoes a position switch, and man, oh man, he is singing his praises.
Yeah, I think Randy put that out. He did bring up Easton Dean to me and said that, you know, when Dylan Stainer went down, they actually didn't feel as bad in terms of that position because they thought Easton Dean or Skyler Loving Black, who could be more of an F, but we'll see, that either of those guys could have stepped up. Now, there was just a bowl game left, and so that didn't need to happen, and there's going to be quite a log jam still in front of them next year. But when you look at Chase Allen, Dylan Stainer both graduating next year, and then Jarvie Kohler having the option again to go to the NFL, it's at least a positive step that Easton Dean might be in position to step up. And they're going to have to be heavy on recruiting tight ends in this 2021 class. I expect them to probably take a couple, and they just offered one down in Urbandale. So, you know, so it's a position that they really need to kind of step up, and Easton Dean's already got the body. You know, when he was recruited, I'd always heard, you know, that they were obviously recruiting him, bring him in as a quarterback, but that they always felt that just his athleticism, he was pretty new to the quarterback position, and if that didn't work, they thought he could play tight end. Now, I don't know if they thought he would develop like he has already, and his body's pretty much there. But it'll be interesting to see if he can get some reps in 2020.
Oh, very interesting. And the hype train certainly not slowing down here this offseason.
Sure.
Best tight end there.
Full speed ahead.
For Easton Dean. Hey, some basketball, not a whole lot of hype there. Kansas State comes to town. You know, we talked about it with both Oklahoma schools when they came in, just the fan base needing a victory. Certainly feels the same way right now with four consecutive losses.
Yeah, this is obviously a must win. You can't lose at home to Kansas State. Otherwise, things are really going to start to go downhill in a hurry, just in terms of maybe even, you know, interest in attendance and that sort of thing. They're home the next three Saturdays, and we know that, you know, people have a lot of options on weekends. So if they don't win this one, it's going to start to get dicey, because right now you're looking at Iowa State battling Kansas State for the 8-9 spot. Oklahoma State won earlier this week, so they're within a game of, you know, not being in the basement. So right now, it's probably not what Iowa State fans want to hear, but right now tomorrow's game is actually a preview of the Wednesday in Kansas City in March. So, you know, it'll be an interesting game. I think Iowa State's probably better than Kansas State at home, but it's hard to predict this team right now.
Indeed. What's the mood of the team like, Alex, when you're around them? When you get, you know, media avails, whether it be in the middle of the week or after a game, what's the mood of the team?
I would say, like, you know, we talked recently to, like, Tyrese Haliburton and George Conlon. I'd still say upbeat a little bit. You know, I think they're younger guys that, you know, that's just probably their nature, but you can kind of sense of frustration here, especially talking to George Conner last week. It was probably the best interview he's had since he's been here, just the most open he's been. And it went like, you know, 5+ minutes. But, you know, he's just frustrated. And, you know, he was talking about having a long conversation with his dad after they got back from Texas on the phone. And then he was texting Prohm and apologizing that he wasn't, you know, playing as well. And so I think there's a lot of frustration because they feel like they're, you know, they're at least better than some of these results. You know, you look at TCU and Texas games that they probably could have won on the road. You know, I think we've gotten to the point where we know they're not in the tier of competing with, you know, Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech, and West Virginia this year. But they should still be competitive with Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State, and the rest of that league. And so I think they're frustrated that, you know, so far they still really struggled to get those wins.
Alex, we'll talk to you on Monday. Thank you. Appreciate what you do for us.
Yep, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you do the same. Alex Halstead, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Ben Jacobson scheduled to join us. We'll talk about his Panthers and preview the in-state matchup next. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO.